Well, the day we have waited for so long, some feels like longer than others, right? Christmas. It's here. How many of you have to wait still? They made you come to church and you haven't opened gifts yet. Yeah. How many of you already had Christmas? Yeah. Okay, wise parents. Yeah, we already had it too. Yeah. Well, it's here. But did you receive the gift of the Christ child? But to know that, we have to go back from Christmas to the first week of Advent. And in the first week of Advent, we see in a church a family, not in chairs, but in a pew. It's a young family. The father is about 30, but his wife is barely 20. And a little girl sits at the end of the pew, leaning on it, sucking her thumb. She's just 5. The young man sits decorously listening, and the young woman sits proudly with her new Sunday bonnet on. The minister says in his sermon that first week in Advent, the Lord chastens those he loves. For those of us who don't really use that word chastens much anymore, maybe corrects, disciplines, humbles. Now, it was a nice line for the first week in Advent, but you see that line came up in just about every sermon this minister preached. So as the family left service that first week in Advent, and they just walked across the road to their midtown home, they walk into their home, and as you look to the left, the table was set for Sunday dinner. But it was not time to be served. And so the husband goes off to his smoking room to wait. He had built it some time ago because his smoking disturbed his wife, and he did it for her. But he has found it quite a comfort just to retire there more and more frequently of late. And the young wife goes to her room and stands in the mirror, still checking out that new Sunday bonnet. And 5-year-old Sophie climbs the steps to the nursery, which is all the way at the top. Her name was Sophie, but often she transposed her name to Fosie. And so Fosie made her way all the way up the steps, and her nurse was not there to assist her. And so she took a stool and tried to hang her coat up herself in her wardrobe. But in doing so, she tripped because it was too high and stumbled, and it all ended up in a heap at the bottom. To which she left and moved to her reading chair by the fire. And she pulled out her book as she waited for the Sunday dinner to begin. But she just couldn't read. For the words of the minister kept going over and over in her mind. The Lord chastens those he loves. Oh, she wished that the Lord would chasten her, because then she would know he loved her. What this young Christian didn't realize is that she had been chastened more than most at her young age. You see, her father, Augustus Gratius, was married to her mother to please his parents. He did not find her mother very interesting. Not very well developed, And so when she died a fortnight after Sophie was born, he did not mourn her greatly, but instead determined that he would marry the next time for himself and his own choosing. And so he did. He determined that Fosy, who was the spitting image of his wife and of her character, would stay with the nurse until she was old enough for him to bring her up in the way he thought she should go. And so as he looked for a new wife, he found Letty, the daughter of a bishop, who was young and moldable and agreeable. And they got along quite well. But it was not long, as you can imagine, after they were married, that he understood his folly. For he was trying to make her into the way he decided she should go. And while she read a chapter of the Bible every day, her choice of novels were those he despised. And so he would give her some philosophy to read, and poetry, or history. And when he asked her when he came home from work, how that went, well, it never really did go well. She never got through those books. And so he spent more and more time in that smoking room, and she spent more and more time taking invitations to parties in the evenings. And little Fosy was left to her nurse in the nursery. And such was the life of this family. Now, after Sunday dinner, there would be times where Augustus would read Pilgrim's Progress to his young wife. And Sophie would sit in the corner listening to every word he read. But during the midweek, not as much reading and not as much time for Sophie. One night, Letty insisted that Augustus please, please come with her to an invitation, to a party. Oh, he must come. Oh, he must. Of which got him quite angry because he had no intention of going. And reminded her that she must think more than just herself these days, as there would really be two going. And was it wise to go into a closed-in house that was quite stuffy with a lot of people? Letty made it very clear that this was just one invitation. Oh my goodness, I can't let that one go. And so that evening, she was off to the dinner party. And when she returned that evening, she fell quite ill. And she remained quite weak and ill for a while. And Augustus really lost all interest in Advent by this time. But now we had come to Christmas Eve. Christmas Eve, and oh, Sophie so wanted to go to Christmas Eve services. Augustus determined that it was not possible. He needed to stay near Letty, who was just too sick to attend. But he promised Sophie he would walk her to church and pick her up when it was over. And so when the time came, Sophie came down the stairs in her Christmas Eve wear, ready to go. And her father, Augustus, walked her across the street to the church, where she sat in their row, in their pew, listening to the minister. And as he spoke, and as she sat there, she heard him speak about the baby Jesus who was born, and that this was his birthday. But she knew it was different than the birthday she had just had, because at her birthday, she turned 5, a year older. But at Jesus' birthday, In Fosie's mind, she realized and understood the minister to say that Jesus was born again, brand new, every year. What she hadn't worked out was how Jesus was born brand new in every house in London every year. But she knew Jesus would be born. And that's all she could think about as she sat in the service. Well, Augustus got preoccupied at home and totally lost track of the time. And so Sophie began to walk herself home Christmas Eve from church. And as she walked, all the lights in the windows, it was beautiful. And all she could think about was, will baby Jesus be born in here? Will he be born here? Oh, I wonder if he could be born here. But she made her way home. And when Augustus noticed the time and stood up to retrieve Sophie, he opened the door, and there she was. And she climbed the stairs all the way to the top, to the nursery, where Alice, her maid, helped her get tucked in for bed. And Fosie wondered, how am I going to sleep? When will the baby Jesus come? What if he only comes to the lower rooms of the house and I miss him? What if he comes really late and I have to wait all day? Oh, that would be so hard to wait. Finally, she falls asleep. But as she falls asleep, the house becomes alive and awake, and nurses and a doctor come, and all the help in the house are busy, for Letty needed attention. And the hubbub below the nursery went on all night long until the very, very early morning when the doctor left and the help scooted off to bed. All but one nurse was left moving quietly about the house. And Fosie woke up. It was Christmas morning. And Alice, the nursemaid, was still sleeping on her bed. And so she did the best to dress herself to meet the baby Jesus. It's hard to button yourself up. And boy, that stray curl, try to get it tucked in. And when she decided she was presentable, she came out of her room and looked down the stairs. To the right was her stepmother's room, of which she was forbidden to go. But to the left was the guest room. And there was a glow of a light in that room. And so she scooched herself down the stairs quietly, and she looked into the room. And there, on the bed, was the baby Jesus. And she took a stool, for she could not reach the middle of the bed, and pushed it up to the bed, and she climbed up, and she took the baby in her arms, and she held him tight, and she sat on the stool, and she held him. Oh, the baby Jesus had come. But he was cold. He was really cold, and she tried to warm him. And then she realized he was not moving. And she knew enough about babies, for she had seen them before, that his chest was not rising and falling, and no breath was coming out. And all she could do was hold him. At that time, the nurse walked in, startled, to see Fosie sitting with the baby. She quickly departed and found Augustus. And when Augustus walked into the room, His heart melted. And Fozzie said, "Father, Father, the baby Jesus is dead." And Augustus rushed up to her and said, "Oh no, thank God the baby Jesus is not dead. This is only your little brother who had not enough life in him, and he has gone back to God for more." And he comforted her. Augustus heard muffled crying from the room across the hall and went to attend and see Letty. And he said to her, "Hush now, hush. You must rest, for you cannot go the way of the baby. I could not bear it." And she said, "Really? Really, would you miss me?" And his heart was warmed for her and said, "I would miss you. Please rest and become strong." Well, that Christmas day, as Augustus sat on his end of the table and Fozzie sat at hers, Father got up, went to the end of the table, picked up daughter and chair and all, and moved her next to him. And he saw in her the depth of the divine, the innocence of a child, and wondered how he had ever thought that he could shape her in the way he thought she should go. For she was created, beautiful as she was, in the image of her mother, just waiting to blossom. Well, weeks later, when Letty was strong enough, Augustus shared the story of the baby Jesus with her. And her heart opened to Fozzie. And while Letty had lost a son for a season, she had gained a daughter for a lifetime. And so, this is the gift of the Christ child to one family on Christmas Day. You see, when we come to Christmas, it's not the end. It is just the beginning. Christmas and the Christ child are for us 365 days. Till we get back around here again. The gift of the Christ child is this healing of relationships, maybe in our family, maybe at work, in our schools, and in our world. And so when we come to Christmas, we come to see the child who changes everything. You see, when the shepherds came, as the angel instructed them, they did not leave the same scruffy shepherds. They left the shepherds rejoicing and praising God and telling everyone. And when the Magi, the three kings, came, they went home another way. Of course they did. When we come to the baby Jesus and hold him, we are changed and we go another way. So I invite you this year not to let Christmas be the end but the beginning. Hold the baby that changes everything. And part of that great mystery is that baby holds you for the rest of the year. In Matthew, when Jesus is going away, he tells his disciples, "Behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. May you go with God and hold the baby who holds you this year. Amen.